Live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that everybody in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Look, no one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Thursday edition of the program. Houston Kress, I'm Nate Hodges, Davey Hudson, all ready to get things going here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Last night, it was Boston taking it to LeBron and the Cavaliers at home. 96-83, as the Celtics, again, look like a completely different team on their home court. Houston, you were right. The supporting cast, your theory, you've been right now 5 games in a row in this series.
I'm like 5 years in a row. Since I got into radio, I've been right.
Okay, let's not take it too far.
Feels good.
At some point.
Feels good to be right all the time.
Actually, I'm not sure. I was about to say at some point the road team might win one here, but it doesn't feel like it.
Didn't you pick the Warriors to win the last game?
Cover. They didn't. But I didn't bet on it, so I was right to not bet on it.
It's always something.
Boom. I can say whatever I want on here. It's actions, really. It's what's in the heart. My heart wasn't on the bet. I just, you know, I had to make a pick for radio. Picked the Warriors, didn't take it, but I didn't actually lose money, so I win.
NBA playoffs are rolling on. We're going to get into the big...
And to your point real quick, Nate, yeah, a road team's going to have to win this series if the Cavs are going to win it.
That is 100% accurate.
Not true.
100% accurate.
Celtics want to win in 6, they can win a road game. How bad do you want it?
I don't... You would think that professional athletes would be less affected by the crowd than, like, college. You would think the older players get, mm-hmm. the less their surroundings would impact how they play a game. I mean, the fans can't actually change anything on the court if you think about it. I mean, you know.
I don't know.
Us in Hoosiers, every goal is 10 feet.
I don't know that it's the fans. I don't know that it's the when I say environment, I'm saying like fan created
like loudness.
Yeah, I don't think it's noise or hostility.
I think it's the body being comfortable and its
surroundings. I think it's just you get accustomed to routine. I imagine if like when we go on remote, for example, it feels different. It's a different feel. We do fine because we're, you know, elite professionals. We're the superstars.
You can't even say that.
I'm sorry. But I'm just saying, like, it feels different. There's a different vibe, even if everything's perfect. Even if the microphone's set up, the computers are working, the Wi-Fi's great, the environment's beautiful, we're not being, you know, bothered or interfered with. Like, it still feels different. That's what I mean when I'm talking. Like, role players, it's probably a mentality thing. It's probably a personality type thing. Guys who aren't superstars are kind of built that way. And I just think that you're more comfortable in the building you're familiar with when you get to sleep in your own bed, when you get to go to your locker room and have, you know, your favorite trainer tape your ankle and go to your favorite restaurant the night before, so on and so forth. I just think it creates a level of comfort. You're kind of in your zone, play a little better at home. It tends to hold true. College football is different. I mean, I think then it's everything. Then it's not only is it a new environment, but it's also crazy out here. It is hostile. I can't hear. This place, it's hot. It's really hot here. It's never this hot at home. That kind of thing.
Yeah, the sound is much different in football than it is basketball.
Well, and I think the weather element matters too. NBA arenas, for the most part, except that one time it wasn't when LeBron cramped, always probably a very comfortable 71 degrees, maybe even cooler. Everything else pretty much the same.
Well, how do we grade LeBron's performance last night? It's 39 minutes. He's 11 of 22 from the floor, 50%. He's 1 of 6 from 3, 3 of 4 from the line, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, but 6 turnovers, minus 11 on the plus-minus. The announcer said he looked tired. They even went to the sideline reporter,
you know,
talked to the other sideline reporter who said, yes, it's a point of pride in Cleveland that LeBron doesn't put his hands on his hips or hold his shorts or show any type of fatigue or weakness. And since he is doing that tonight, it's pretty obvious that the broadcast team is, as she put it, on point with their assessment of LeBron James being tired. Are you kidding me? Really?
That's a lot.
Tired.
Wait. Is he not allowed to be tired?
He's allowed to be tired. But like it was basically during the third quarter they've decided he's going to have a bad game. Let's figure out why.
Well, we talked about this with Steph Curry the other day. So they did it.
Yeah.
So someone finally did it with LeBron.
Sure.
It wasn't hurt, obviously. He was just tired.
Oh, they threw around the speculation. They're like, "I wonder if something's going on." I mean, they And then one of them finally in the fourth quarter was like, well, I need to specify this was kind of a poor game for LeBron standards. Obviously, if other certain players score 26, it's a good night. I mean, we all get that.
Yeah. I mean, he is a victim of his own expectations, I think. A 26-point night for just about anybody else in the league is a good night. It's fine. And frankly, I don't think it's a bad night for LeBron. The 6 turnovers are a little alarming.
They were bad ones.
Yeah,
too.
I know.
That was more what it.
Yeah,
it wasn't like they were coming to trap him every time.
Yeah,
he touched the ball.
Exactly. That's why it's kind of like whoa. But you know, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, had a steal, only 2 fouls. But the 6 turnovers are strange. But you know, you see that line by itself, it's like okay, he turned the ball over a little bit, but 26 points, shot 50%, wasn't very good from 3. Other than that, I mean, he's pretty good night. Didn't get to the free throw line either, which is
well, that's
another one on him. Like we talked about this, I think it was last year or maybe even 2 years ago. He has those games. I don't know if it's fatigue. I don't know what it is where he doesn't want to attack as much. He doesn't want to get to the rim. He doesn't want to get free throws. And then you look at everybody else in this entire series, really the Cavs and the playoffs in general, this has been what their sheet looks like in a loss. LeBron in the 20s, or in some cases 30s, 40s. One other person in double figures. Kevin Love gave you 14 last night. And then no one else above 8. That's what happens.
I mean,
that's role players on the road not playing as well as they do at home.
You're not going to win an NBA game scoring 83 points. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
I mean, they didn't get to the line. They shot. You can't shoot less than 20 free throws in the NBA. You can't shoot 26.5% from 3. Like, that's abysmal.
Well, they shot 19 free throws. They only hit 12. Meanwhile, Boston went 21 to 23. So they got there more, and they hit double. I mean, it was...
You want to really break down the numbers and look at an oddity. Cleveland shot a better percentage from the floor than Boston, and the game was never close. Like, think about that. Like, my team's going to shoot a better percentage, but we're going to be out of the game the entire game. This is crazy. I mean, that's because of turnovers. That's because of the difference in three-point makes and the extra point, obviously, and getting to the line and making free throws at the line.
Yeah. I mean, what do you buy that? Do you think it's tired? Do you think it's just a different? Do you think LeBron goes into road games now in the playoffs, kind of knowing that his teammates are gonna take a big dip? Like, do you think he goes into these games, even a game like last night, which is a great chance for them to steal one after, you know, winning two in a row? Do you think maybe he comes in like mentally fatigued? Do you think he's tired because he knows he's gonna be tired at the end of the night?
Last night we talked about it being a must-win for Boston, which means it's a great opportunity for Cleveland. I don't know how, like, it seems like you would find a way to be up for this game if you're LeBron James. I don't know if I guess that's possible, but I mean, like, you're not the higher seed. You're gonna have to win a road game at some point.
Up for the game, like, he was the best player on the floor last night. Like, he did lead all scorers. I know his plus minus wasn't good, but that's not necessarily his fault. So I guess, like, I get what you're saying. He didn't give you 45, 10, and 10. He still led all scorers. Like, he was still the best player on the floor. I don't know if it's fair to say LeBron didn't get up for the game and then say anyone else did when he was the best player on the floor.
Okay. I think you could make an argument Tatum was better. But
I'm just saying, for his team, like,
But you're saying that he's coming into the game with a different mindset.
I'm asking. Okay. I'm asking if that's possible. Like, is it possible LeBron, after seeing this team,
I think maybe
all
he started
now,
the same way, and once he realized that, yep, they're gonna suck again tonight.
Okay. That's what I mean. But you don't do that unless you've already thought, like, if we play 12 minutes and these guys are already off to a terrible start, it's gonna be a long night, and I'm just gonna, I don't say mail it in. I don't think he would ever do that, but I don't know, conserve the energy for the next. I don't know.
I'm not sure if
I'm just trying to figure it out. I mean, the whole tired thing, I mean, I guess. How many more games have the Cavs played in the playoffs than Boston, or have they?
Less, right?
I don't know.
They swept the Raptors.
That's why I was at.
The Celtics go seven in their first round series or
now,
something?
Now,
I
do agree, you know, when LeBron has those 40-something point nights, like, that's a lot of energy exerted to do that when other guys just kind of are spot three-point shooters and you're running the floor and playing defense and getting fouled, getting hit, all that. I mean, that is, you know, you are putting in more work by the true definition of the word work. But I don't know.
The Cavs have played two games less than the Celtics.
Two games less, okay.
I mean, I did wonder when they were talking about that, you know, the fact that now that these games, they're traveling back and forth to cities as we go game, you know, from game 4 to 5 and then 5 to 6, 6 to 7.
Yeah.
They have to travel every time.
Yeah.
And there's only one day in between the games. So I did wonder if, like, at some point that starts to catch up with, I actually had the thought about the Rockets guys playing 7 players two nights ago.
Right.
And then having to travel every day as they, you know, as that series is going to go at least 6, I didn't think it would affect the Cavs, who in their last series only went 4 games.
Boston to Cleveland's what? 2.5
no,
hour,
it's not.
2 hour flight?
Yeah.
2.5 hour flight? I don't know. I'm just.
No,
I mean,
it's more having a day less than.
Sure.
Was he tired or just didn't play as well as he. I don't want to say he played poorly because you're right. For any other player, it's a good game.
But didn't play as well
as he has in other games.
Right, that's the thing. And that's where I want to be fair to LeBron, because I don't think even those who think he's the greatest player to ever walk the planet in, like, superfan mode would even think it's fair to say he needs to give you 45 every night. He's LeBron James. Like, that's not realistic. And this team has proven they don't need that from him to win, although they've also proven they probably need that from him on the road to have a chance. This is, I mean, I hate to say it, but this really is a case of role players playing better on the road for both, or at home for both teams. And Cleveland is just so bad, everyone else on the road, that I don't know if he has enough to save his team.
I could have swore.
In Boston, of course.
In the third quarter, he turned to two players as they were, like, taking the ball out of bounds to walk it all the way up the court. And he said, "Help me out." And he looked at the other guy and said, "Help me out." Like, I read his lips
maybe
wrong.
Maybe he was at the bar late.
He said the same thing twice, once to one player and once to another player.
Maybe he jumped over to Canada, did a little gambling.
Maybe I just thought that's what he said. Maybe it was something different.
You think he said, help me out?
Maybe he was calling a play. Maybe it's like a something play that, you know, it's like bad lip reading. I don't know. Maybe he was just telling them what the offensive set they were going to run next time down is. But, I mean, Korver was talking about how LeBron's at the gym, you know, like 2 hours before practice every day. Remember when he got applauded for being at the gym at 11 before like an 8 o'clock tip? Like, I mean, like if he's legitimately tired, maybe he should rethink. Maybe, you know.
Oh gosh,
is he putting in extra time so people think he works hard and then ends up tired? Like, I mean, there's a difference in saying. Yeah, he was either the best or second best player on the court last night, and they still lost. And then trying to say, well, he's better than Michael Jordan. Like, if you're going to be better than Michael Jordan, you can't have too many of these games in big time crunch moments in the playoffs. Now, if he comes back and lights it up in Cleveland in Game 6,
like he if he does this at home, that's one thing. But if he does this on the road, there's no one else to help him. So, here's my question. If Tristan Thompson, instead of giving you, I think, 1 point,
yeah,
if he gives you 13 and you win, are we sitting here saying, man, LeBron James was horrible. Luckily, Tristan Thompson came in and bailed him out. Or are you saying, pretty good game by LeBron, Cavs steal one?
You're probably saying the second. And you also won't have announcers saying he's tired. So I guess that's the, like, you won't have guys looking for an excuse.
Right.
So it'd be both. I don't...
But yeah, but what I'm saying is if one other Cavs player plays better last night, better enough, or if two give you 8 more points apiece, which is what they did in the last game, I don't think anyone is saying, man, LeBron was awful. But I think because they lost and he gave you 26, everyone's like, well, we could have won if you'd given us 40. And all I'm saying is I don't think that's fair. And the Jordan stuff, like, I'm sure Jordan had plenty of games around 25, 26 points in which the Bulls just dominated pretty good teams. I would imagine that was possible. So I don't know what this means. I think that he is a victim of his own success, of his own domination, frankly, that people come to expect it. And when they don't see it, there has to be an explanation for it other than, excuse me,
he just had a bad night.
He had a bad night.
Yeah.
Even though, in the grand scheme of the NBA, this would probably not be considered a bad night other than the turnovers, which were pretty bad.
One in Stripe says, I do wonder when the last game was that LeBron didn't get an offensive rebound. I mean, I think it's fair to say,
it was pretty clear he wasn't too interested in the paint, period.
Yeah, he didn't attack. He didn't.
Didn't get to the free throw line. No offensive rebounds. Like, offensive end of the floor, he wasn't the same.
I mean, I think you have to give the Celtics defense some credit here, and I think you have to...
Well, they did that in game one, right? I mean, they have developed a good plan for him.
Yeah, I mean, you have to... Like, he needs to force others to be... He needs to force other defenders for the Celtics to have to come to him and set his, you know, roll guys up for good shots, and then they have to make them.
Right.
They haven't been able to make them in Boston.
Right.
And they've taken some awful ones, too.
I was just looking at the point totals, but if you look at, I mean, they went 9 of 34 from 3. Clarkson for Cleveland, 2 of 7. Korver, 2 of 5, and that's kind of what he's in there to do. J.R. Smith, 0-4. Sorry. J.R. Smith gave you 2 points. Thompson, 0-1. Kevin Love, 2 of 7. Now, I don't have a look at exactly how open all of these shots were. Kevin Love, you're always open. You're like 6'11". Korver, he can hit from anywhere. That's probably your ball game right there. Korver and Love go a combined 4 of 12. And typically, those are very open looks in the corner because LeBron has done something to draw the defense in and get you a good look in the corner or the wing. I mean, like that, if you look at this series, it really isn't LeBron's numbers that dictate who wins or loses. It's everybody else's. Like, look at when Cleveland wins and when Cleveland loses, and it's everybody else's number that significantly changes and impacts the game. Like, LeBron has lost in this series when he scored 45, and I think he's won when he scored 22. The difference is everybody else. So, and I am not trying to be the LeBron needs more help guy. I think these are good players, but they're not really performing like it on the road.
When did they win? They won a game when LeBron didn't.
I don't know. I don't remember what it was. I mean, I just know he didn't like explode for 40 something. I thought he had a game in the 20s that they won. Was it game 3? The first game in Cleveland?
I'm checking. He had 44 in game 4. And in game 3, yeah, he had 27. That's what you're thinking of.
27, that's still.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
But that's what he did last night.
Yeah. Well, he was. Okay, so in game.
That's my point, though, is like he has 27 and they win. He has 26 and they lose. And look at how we view the two games. But if you look at everyone else's numbers, night and day. Night and day what Kyle Korver probably did in last night in this game.
He scored 27 points in game 3 on 12 shots. Last night
it's really good.
Last night it took him 22 shots.
It's really good.
So there were 10 additional possessions where he put the ball in the air. And his role players, you know, didn't get a chance. He did only have 5 rebounds in that game 3 win, but he had 12 assists. So obviously, either he's setting his guys up better,
or they're hitting shots,
or you know,
What did Kevin Love do in that game?
I'm sure it was both. Kevin Love had 13.
He had 14 last night. What did Tristan Thompson do in that game?
10.
1. Hill.
13.
7. Smith.
11.
2. That's your difference. It's all the other guys.
Korver had 14 as well off the bench. Yeah.
Korver had 7 last night.
They scored 116 points.
Yeah.
Boston scored 86.
I say, if you look at the series, like LeBron's numbers aren't the ones that are dictating the win. It's everybody else. Now, I will give you, though, missing shots and not getting your teammates open looks is a big thing, but they didn't shoot a great percentage last night.
He was 8 of 10 from the free throw line that night as well, which that makes up the scoring difference when you only take 12 shots from the field. Like, what should he do? Should he just yell at these guys? I mean, they're going to have to win a game in Boston to win the series.
I don't know. You can't yell the ball into the basket.
Like, J.R. Smith, make a damn shot in Boston.
No, like, he's a big part of the problem. Throw it in the ocean, please. What did he have? He had a game. Was it against Toronto? He had a game in the 30s or high 20s, and you're like, whoa. And then get you 1 point.
1 point.
2 points. Like, what are you doing? They're just so inconsistent.
I think that's why the announcer said LeBron was tired. I don't think it was because he scored 26. I think it's because he wasn't talking. Like, he just was kind of going through the motions. Because
he probably doesn't know what to do. Like if they're bad, I can't play for him.
And then you'll have the articles about the weight of the me disease. And remember all that stuff after game 2. Yeah. Yeah. It felt the same. Felt the same again. Now their backs are against the wall. Tomorrow night, they'll be back in Cleveland. They'll probably like a brand new team. I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. I would still think I understand the home comforts, and your point about that and not being about the crowd makes perfect sense. But I still would think that even the higher level you get as a professional, you would be able to not be as different.
No, I agree.
From Cleveland to Boston,
it certainly should be.
Like J.R. Smith should be able to hit a shot in Boston.
One would think. maybe it's magnet balls or something. I don't know. I don't know what they do in Boston.
Well, they've always
the court leans to one side a little bit.
Maybe they hired the Foxborough crew to come in and make some adjustments.
Could be. A little inflate gate.
Little wind tunnel opening and closing. Some different stuff.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah. That's why you got to get to the basket in basketball. They can't stop you from dunking the basketball.
It's true.
Getting to the free throw line. 3 and Outs driven by Toyota Knoxville, I-40 Level Road exit right there on Parkside Drive. We're going to be out there today test driving one of their awesome new vehicles. And as we've been telling you, right now through the end of May, it's the summer sales event to get summer started right with Toyota Knoxville. And you can get a new RAV4 for as low as $209 a month and $229 a month on the all-new redesigned 2018 Toyota Camry. And of course, they've got all the trucks, the SUVs, the 4Runner, Tacoma, all the vehicles that you know from Toyota brand new. And then don't forget the pre-owned selection as well. You can go check it all out online at toyotaknoxville.com. You can even ask questions from the comfort of home. And then when you're ready to test drive, just do like us. Head on out there. I-40, Lovell Road exit right there on Parkside Drive. It's Toyota Knoxville, Knoxville's Toyota dealer. Welcome back to 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. Jordan Oliver says, I'm going to say up front that I don't follow the NBA super close, but am I crazy to say that LeBron has carried his teams the majority of his career? After that many years of it, I'd be sick and tired at this point, too.
In Cleveland, yes. Not so much in Miami.
Right.
First stretch in Cleveland, 100%. Miami, he was part of a really good crew, right? I mean, you had Ray Allen, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Birdman. A lot of really good players. Certainly better players than what he has now in Cleveland. I do think LeBron needs a Robin to his Batman. He needs the counterpoint to himself on his team, and I do not think he has that on this team.
The year Cleveland won it, I thought Kyrie actually outperformed LeBron.
I don't know if he outperformed him, but there were nights where LeBron would hit 33 and Kyrie was right there with 28. And I think Kyrie may have even outscored him in at least two of those games,
yeah,
in the finals against the Warriors. Now, a lot of that has to do, obviously, guys are going to key on LeBron. But that's a nice thing to do, right? Like, if you can take out LeBron, that's great. This year, I don't know that they have the other guy. And Kyrie's a big enough star where he can do that on the road, too.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Love was supposed to be that player a long time ago, but it's pretty obvious that they ISO'd him some last night in some post-up situations, and he couldn't come through. He couldn't score. Obviously, he can knock down open threes, which is valuable at his size. But when you don't come through, and if everyone else is going to suck as bad as they did last night, then you need a performance out of Kevin Love like you got from Kyrie Irving in those finals that you're talking about. You can't have just a regular old ho-hum roll game performance by Kevin Love. You need a second scorer type of game.
Right. Right now, Cleveland does not have a second scorer.
I mean, Love had 14 last night. There was a stretch earlier in the game where LeBron kind of went, I don't know if he was even shooting, but there was a stretch where Kevin Love kind of got featured and scored a few points. If LeBron's only going to get you 26 and have kind of and no one else is going to do anything, Love's got to go for 24, not 14. And if he goes for 10 more points, then who knows? That game, maybe the feeling of it changes. But I still think it's a cumulative effect. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we saw all these role players play so much better in Cleveland. It's not that they can't do it. Like, LeBron has enough help in terms of talent to win the series. If they would just come through, average last night, it's coming down to the last shot, and LeBron's either probably going to win it or lose it for you. And that's at least better than not even having a chance and him looking tired. Right? Like, even if they're not as good as they are in Cleveland, but they're not as bad as if they're middle of the road last night.
But that's the thing, though, and that's why what you're saying, like, they're talented enough. I mean, I guess, but part of being talented is consistency with said talent.
Sure.
Right? I mean, that's why what's her name? The Red Panda? Is that right? The lady who flips the bowls onto her head?
I think that's right.
Like, that's what makes her so great is she can flip those bowls into her head riding a unicycle in any arena in the country. That's talent. If every time she went west of the Mississippi and she broke those bowls on the floor, she'd be a joke. Talent travels. The brand travels. And right now, Cleveland's backups and role players behind LeBron James, they don't travel. They can't do it unless they're in Toronto, international waters or something. I don't know. Go play this game on a cruise ship out in the Atlantic, see what happens. Because they can't do it in another team's arena unless they're in Canada. So to circle all this back from the original conversation, I'm not blaming this on LeBron.
I think it's fair to give him whatever normal blame you would give a normal player. Like if
I'll say
if there's a regular like it's like average replacement player. Let's use Moneyball language. I'm giving LeBron just as much blame as I'm giving the player who had an average game on an average team that got beat because, I mean, at the end, it's still a team game. And if you're the leader of the team, you deserve some blame when your team loses. But I'm not killing him for scoring 26 and or whatever it was and you know,
right,
not having a heroic performance.
I will say this is why Cleveland in the regular season needed to either make their changes sooner or something, because you're seeing now if this game was flipped, if they were the higher seed, they're probably going to go to the finals. But because they get four games in Boston, I think we all agree it's at least very much in question right now whether or not it will be Cleveland in the NBA Finals. This, for all of the people out there who say the NBA regular season is stupid and it takes too long and it doesn't matter and the finals are already set, I don't even know why we're playing this, you're seeing exactly why it does matter. Cleveland, not the higher seed in this scenario. Boston's the one, right? They're the one?
Yeah.
Cleveland's the... what was Cleveland?
No.
Was Toronto the
Toronto
one?
Was the one.
Boston was two.
So that makes
Cleveland... they're the four?
Four, yeah.
Do you think... I mean, you agree, right? Cleveland's... you feel pretty good about Cleveland still making the finals if this series is flip-flopped as far as home and away, yeah?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, probably go six or seven. It's probably close.
No, yeah, I agree with that. But... Now everyone's, at least I am, and especially after last night, trying to figure out how in the hell Cleveland's going to win in Boston. Unless LeBron goes for 60.
Guess how many playoff games? All right, LeBron, Michael Jordan played 179 playoff games in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how many LeBron has played?
Isn't he at like 210?
217.
Hmm.
That might not even count last night. I'm not sure. I don't know. Thought that was
he's tired.
He's tired.
He's tired of it. Everybody else showing up and sucking when he's giving you consistent performances, having played in way more games than these guys have.
He probably is. I mean, if he wants a last, like, if you want to create a legacy, though, like these are the moments, you know. Like, let's say they go back to Cleveland and win, and they come back to Boston. Like, if he's able to figure out some way to either say, just give me the ball, I'll score 60, or to say, you guys better show up, I'm going to get you involved, and he gets them involved, and they somehow just hit a bunch of shots in game seven and win, that's how, you know. That
legends are made.
It is. I mean, that's what happened against Golden State.
I wasn't trying to be a jerk. I was just going with the most cliche point that you were making.
I mean, it's true.
No, like the most cliche saying to the point
right.
You were making.
Yeah.
I agree with your point, though.
I mean, the
maybe it's all a setup.
If he doesn't come back from the 3-1 down
sandbagging
to the Warriors, like, I mean, I think we have a completely different view of LeBron. We'd still be waiting for him to have that his moment. I mean, that was the one point where you're like, okay, it's pretty obvious that he can't do it like here. Like, it's even as good, mm-hmm. even as big, as strong, as athletic as he is, even his best is not going to be good enough to beat the Warriors. And they did. They found a way. They came back. Obviously, Kyrie. I agree. Kyrie played great.
See, yeah, like, that's the thing, though. This team does not have a Kyrie.
But it should be good enough to beat Boston.
No, I agree with you
not
on that.
Not Golden State.
No,
maybe not even
Houston. I agree, and that was actually the point I was about to make.
Okay.
Was that said, this Boston team ain't the Warriors.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
This Boston team does it a completely different way, and frankly, like, LeBron James and four dudes is probably, in most years, enough to beat a team like this Celtics team, which is why I think, not to do what everybody else did, but I think you do have to give a lot of credit to Brad Stevens and the players for the Celtics for buying in, listening, and being willing to play a brand of basketball that is at least somewhat uncommon now in the NBA. A starless team brand of basketball, and it works. You get 24 from Tatum, 15 from Horford, 17 from Brown, and then you get two guys off the bench in Morris and Smart that both give you 13. Team basketball. And really, they only played seven last night, if you want to get technical. So it's not like they're going deep onto their bench. I mean, they had two guys play that played 3 minutes apiece. Everybody else over 22.
Yeah, well, the three minutes was the last 3 minutes of the game.
Right, yeah. So I'm just saying, like that probably shouldn't happen. So that's why I credit Brad Stevens and the Celtics roster for being willing to kind of say, to beat a team like this, we're going to have to do some things a little bit differently, you know, to get to the finals, to have a season like we're having, and they buy in. And they can do that because right now, at least, they are a starless team, and the egos are, I would say, very in check. If they continue to have this type of success, you wonder if that changes or if Brad Stevens able to, you know, rein it in and keep it riding, so to speak. But to your point, and the point, again, that I was trying to make is this Cavs roster, top to bottom, is better than the Celtics roster, no question. And that is, to me, the concern is, why is that? Why are we sitting here with Boston up 3-2 if the NBA is such a talent-driven game, right? I mean, that's what it is. The most talented teams win, period. That's how it works. Then why is this happening? What is different here? And for me, what's different here is there's something about this Boston team that is special. And I want to give them credit, too, because here we are, you know, bashing the Cavs role players and questioning LeBron. The reality is this Boston Celtics team is breaking a mold that is pretty longstanding in the NBA, and that is you don't beat a star without stars. You don't beat a team full of stars or a superstar without at least one of your own. And right now, Boston is doing that to perhaps the greatest player to ever play the game. And a team around him that is pretty good, certainly on paper.
Brian tweets in, sorry guys, these are the players LeBron James wanted,
that's
JR
true.
And others to max contracts after the title year, and he will just leave and find another team loaded to come back to him. That's a whole separate argument, I think. I mean, trying to talk about the game, but and I don't, you know, I'd have to dive into kind of the history of which player stayed and why, and I know LeBron has, you know, probably more control than any player ever over a team and its makeup.
You got a new team halfway through this season,
so it is hard to not blame him at all for who those role players are. But that's probably a better conversation for once this is all said and done. You know, once they're either all the way out or all the way, all the way done with the season, you can kind of look more at the total perspective. Final segment, hour one, coming back at you here on Fox Sports Knoxville. I think we're going to do it, boys. I think maybe for the first time in the history of Three and Out, we're going to go for one entire hour on the association.
Well, we've done that before.
We have.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah,
know.
For during the finals.
Cavs, Warriors, we did that. We might have done that 2 years in a row now. 3 years. This might be year three.
Okay. First time in the conference
okay,
finals.
Now I'll give you that one. How's that? I'll give you that one.
Definitely this year.
Definitely.
Tonight it's Warriors-Rockets, 9 o'clock, TNT. Houston, you excited about this one? Are you going to watch this one?
I watch them all.
You keep up with them all. I don't know. I mean, I'm guilty of the same thing. I'll start watching the game. I'm like watching it, actively viewing. It'll go to commercial. What do you do every time there's a commercial if you're watching something? Even
I check my phone.
You check your phone, right? So I get the phone out. I'm on Twitter, like even looking at stuff about the game.
And you missed 5 minutes of the game.
And then like there might be some article posted about something else that's not even –
rabbit hole.
Sports or basketball.
And you're done.
And now I'm reading it and missing, you know, missing the fight that almost happened last night. Davey, you saw the fight, right? The push, the shove.
I was late to it. I was at the gym. I was at Gold's Gym. And
of course you were.
Whenever it had first started, I was on a different machine. Then I kind of came back to the TV because they got ESPN playing out there so you can watch the games if you want to check out Gold's Gym. But, yeah, I got to see it.
It seemed like Boston has gotten – they didn't really – I'm not sure they got under LeBron's skin at all last night. I think he just did what he did, and we've talked about that for, you know, 50 minutes now. But it seemed like Boston last night kind of got under the role player skin of the Cavs. And I guess the big question for me as we go back on Friday night to Cleveland is, like, will there be any carryover from that? I mean, there was
No, I mean, after that one play, I really don't remember it getting, like, very chippy afterwards.
I know, but the game was over. Like, they never got close again. Like, that was it.
But I feel like if you're going to take a shot, that's kind of the – like, once it's out of hand, it's like, all right, the frustration set in. Going to go ahead and make sure they know.
Who are you taking tonight?
Oh, that's a good question.
Rockets, one-point favorite.
1 point.
Over, under, 219.
We've talked about how with the Warriors, and since they've added Kevin Durant, they've not had a game go to game six or a series go to game six.
Right.
I couldn't tell you the last time, just even without Kevin Durant, they lost. Well, okay, I'll take that back. Whenever Cleveland won the finals, they lost two games in a row. But since then, Warriors not lost two games in a row in the playoffs. I just don't see that happening tonight.
I'll go with the Warriors. They already proved they can win in Houston. For some reason, the Western Conference series doesn't seem to be so, like, home team got to win type of thing. I'll go with the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, I think for all intents and purposes, this should probably be a 3-1 series right now. For Golden State, I think because it's not, they're going to win tonight. Although, I don't know. This Houston team can score in bunches, so that's what makes it interesting. But I can't help but wonder if especially, you know, Steph Curry's a little disappointed after his fourth quarter in game four, and they bounce back. Honestly, this one's tough. I mean, I know it's 1 point game. I just don't know what to expect. I'm with you. Like, Golden State proved they could win in Houston in game one, and they won in impressive fashion. But Houston, I don't know. Game two was good, and then obviously they get game four at Golden State with a nice little comeback there. I think it's been a pretty good series. A lot of people did think this was probably your NBA Finals before the Finals.
Yeah.
A lot of people think whoever wins this one obviously wins. I still think Golden State is better. I think they're going to find some consistency tonight. I think they'll go up 3-2. I think they'll probably win it in six. Although, I don't know. Tonight's probably the swing game that makes this the most interesting. But I do, at least right now, and I'll reserve the right to change it up to game time, I'll take Golden State.
I mean, kind of talking about changing it to game time, questionable for the game, Klay Thompson and Andre Iguodala. I know last time we talked about how
what did Klay
Iggy do? Might actually, he strained his knee.
You remember that.
I'm pretty sure he'll play.
I didn't realize it was this serious.
He finished the game, so you would think so. But you never know. Sometimes
is that like when Kyle Alexander hurt his hip?
Oh, yeah.
And finished the game and then missed Loyola?
Yeah. And then the season was over. One more thing before we get off Cavs and Celtics.
Man, you just can't give the other game any spotlight
maybe
today.
Maybe we'll rotate back
you
to it.
You shifted it to this game and then left, and then I tried to bring it back, and now you're going back again to the Cavs?
Tyronn Lue basically admitted he got out-coached. I just thought we should throw...
Yeah, I mean...
If we're throwing blame around, like, well, he basically said that Boston ran a different rotation with their guys, so that meant he didn't play Korver the same way he had been before, and Korver sucked, and it's like... So, as we're throwing the blame around, if we're going to blame LeBron for wanting these guys and then them only playing well at home, we got to blame Tyronn Lue for changing the rotation of how they played so well in the last game.
Yeah, but who hired Lou?
He's out-coached every game in this series.
I mean,
I know. I just think it's funny to admit it. He said it threw us for a loop. Like, would you say that? I mean, Butch Jones is smart enough to know not to say that. It threw us for a loop.
But this isn't surprising to anyone. Like, he's not letting anyone behind the curtain here. Like,
it's only surprising that he admitted it.
But maybe. Everyone already knew it, so okay. Like he's not. There's no need to lie. This isn't the King's new wardrobe here. Like, everybody knows that he's naked when he's going up against Brad Stevens. He doesn't need to lie and say he's got clothes on.
All right.
What's that? What's that old fairy tale?
The Emperor's New Clothes?
Is that what it is?
Is that what you're saying? Yeah, where he walks around naked because he's gotten the
only people of royal caliber can see the clothing or something. Do you see it? Yeah, I see it. Oh, noble.
Was that? Yeah,
noble.
That was it.
It was an older fairy tale.
Yeah,
I think it was the King's Wardrobe or something. It was something like that.
All right.
I don't know if the analogy even made sense.
We'll hit a break. We're going to talk. We've got Ryan Callahan coming up at 9 o'clock.
I just thought about Lou being exposed when facing against Brad Stevens.
That's not the right. Yeah, we'll think of the name. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number 2 of the program next. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.